moods. Sometimes we're very passionate or enthusiastic, let's say. Let's not say passionate. Let's say enthusiastic. So we want to chant dancing and ecstatic. But sometimes in Bombay we have 24-hour kirtan. And sometimes there's a group of very expert musicians singing in the temple room. And sometimes I get great pleasure to just get out of my office and go down into the temple and sit with the devotees and just chant the holy names, meditating on the name, just the name, the holy name, and relishing the energy that's coming from the holy name. Not so much the adrenaline rush of jumping and twirling around and, you know, sometimes showing off. Actually, there are even rules for chanting, believe it or not. In the temple room, we're actually supposed to chant for the pleasure of the deities. Sometimes we see that devotees have kirtan. They get carried away with their dancing. They sometimes forget to chant even. Of course, they have a big grin on their face, big smile. But they forget of the Lord. And they should be dancing and chanting for his pleasure and her pleasure, Radharani and Krishna. So there are different mellows in chanting, certainly. Oh, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was known to lead kirtan. He only allowed kartal and vrindanga. He didn't allow harmonium. And he would sing off-key on purpose so that people would meditate on the holy... Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. All transcendental potency is there in his holy name. So I want to thank all of you for coming to this festival of the holy name. As I said in the very first day, you're all very rare souls. And just a pleasure to be with all of you. We're going to... How many of you are feeling a little tired after lunch? Huh? Some of you? Should we do a little Japanese management? Yeah? Okay, in Japan, you know, they do calisthenics with their workers. In the middle of work, they stop work. Okay, how many of you put your hands like this? Okay, they can push forward, push out. Okay, now do the same thing, but behind your back. Okay, put your hand. Now put your hands up as high as you can and push them, and then keep your head up. And push high. And chant, Haribo! 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 Keep pushing up. Push up with your hands. Keep your head up. Haribo! Haribo! Now stand on your toes. Okay. Push up and chant, Haribo! Haribo! You feel different? Okay, sit down. Maybe we'll do that two or three times. Because I know right after lunch is a difficult time to give a class. Is everything okay? Huh? Is everybody, are there any complaints? Anybody has any problem? Is the prasadam okay? Are you satisfied with that? Any? If you have suggestions, then you should write them down on a piece of paper and give them to the management, because we actually need your help to make the festival better and better every year. So don't be shy to, you know, give your comments and your suggestions for improvement, whatever it is, a better variety of lectures or more kirtans or better weather or whatever you like. Okay, we're going to start from where we left off yesterday. We're discussing Ishopanishad. As I told you, it's one of, if not the oldest of the Upanishads. And teen mantras spoken by the personified Vedas. It's from the Yajur Veda, which deals with the proprietorship of all things. And we discussed the invocation mantra, very famous. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Very famous verse. Giving us very concrete proof that God is a person. Believe me, you're not only spiritual seekers, but you are very rare because you are Vaishnavas. There are many people who are interested in the Indian culture and Indian philosophy. But more often than not, you find what is presented in India and what people are attracted to is Mayavad philosophy. I am God. You are God. You're all God. We've just forgotten. We just have to remember it. So this is very attractive philosophy, because I don't have to surrender to anyone. And that's a very difficult thing to do, to surrender to another living being. Not only is it in just basically a difficult thing to do, but the fact that we've been wandering Brahmanda Brahmite throughout the Brahmanda for many, many lifetimes, and we've been in the control paradigm. We've been exploiting material nature. We've been using other living beings for our own aggrandizement, our own enjoyment. We've been manipulating and controlling, and we've been doing this lifetime after lifetime. So when someone comes and tells you that you have to surrender to God, it sounds like a difficult pill to swallow. It's not very tasty medicine. In fact, it is stated, yat tad agre visham eva. Visha, this word visha means poison. In the beginning, this philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, is actually like poison, because we don't want to surrender. We don't want to bow down. One of the more famous devotees in our movement Well, one of the more famous devotees is Brahmananda. How many of you have heard of Brahmananda? Okay, everybody knows Brahmananda. I was just with him. We're very good friends. Not only because we look a little alike, but we go back a long way together, and he's a very nice gentleman. But his brother is Garga Muni. How many of you know Garga Muni? Prabhupada used to call him Garga Money, because he was always interested in making money for Krishna. And he's still making money, not so much for Krishna, but he was at our Rath Yatra in New York recently. So Garga Muni, he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada said that you are a disciple, you have to bow down to the spiritual master. You surrender. Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. You offer namaskar. You offer obeisances to me. And Garga Muni said, well, Prabhupada, what if I don't want to bow down to you? I don't feel like bowing down. It's hard to surrender, especially when we've been so long thinking everyone should bow down to me. Why should I bow down to others? I'm God. So Prabhupada told him that you just do it. After a while, you'll feel like doing it. And it's true, Garga Muni has a lot of love for Prabhupada. He's not actively engaged in devotional service even now. For many years, he's been out of active engagement. But he has a lot of feeling and love for Prabhupada. He can't forget Krishna's pure devotee. So, to be a Vaishnava is a very wonderful thing. And these verses of Ishopanishad are very good for preachers. And practically speaking, we want all of you to become preachers. Just like I tried to explain in the beginning of the habits course, that all of us are leaders. We want all of you to be leaders. You are leaders in your family, amongst your friends, in your business. In many ways, you have leadership roles. So the habits of effective leaders is relevant to you. In the same way, all of you have a duty to be preachers of the Lord. Something worth following, if you think it's worth following, it's also worth sharing with others. If you discover a cure for cancer and then keep it all to yourself, that's not very nice, right? You have something good and you think it's worth surrendering your life to, then out of compassion, you must distribute it. You must give it to others. That's the quality of a Vaishnava. The very first sterling quality of a Vaishnava is that he feels that love for other living beings and wants to give them the most valuable thing. Knowledge of how to get out of the suffering altogether. To make a patchwork of the suffering, that's not enlightened compassion. In other words, a man who comes from a very wealthy family and he gets in an accident and he gets amnesia. You know what is amnesia? Bump your head. Who am I? I forget who I am. It happens. You can find people who really have forgotten who they are. It can be temporary or it can be permanent if there's brain damage. So someone gets temporary amnesia. They've forgotten who they are. They actually are the son of a very wealthy man. But in their forgetfulness, you see them wandering in the street. And they have no clothes, and they have no food, and they're wandering aimlessly and you feel compassion for them. You feel, oh, this poor person, let me help them. So you bring them some food, give them a meal. You got some old clothes. So you give them the clothes. Here, I have extra. You take these clothes. So you've shown them compassion. You've been kind to them. But better would be to take them in sanity back to their father. The father is not a poor man. He can feed any number of sons, children. He can clothe them very nicely. But they've forgotten their relationship with him, and therefore they are destitute. And that is the real situation, the real condition of all living beings in this material world. It's not that they've forgotten that they're God, it's that they've forgotten that they are servants of God. Nobody can become God. God does not have to become. He is. He doesn't have to remember. If God had to remember He was God, then ignorance would be more powerful than God. It's illogical. God is the Supreme. Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arsa Vritya. Everything and everybody are servants. He is Apurusheya. He is one without a second. There's nobody equal to and nobody greater. So he's not controlled by ignorance or maya. So we have to surrender. And these verses of Ishopanishad are very nice. And I hope this computer is very nice because... Oh, you turned it off. I hope you did. Well, looks like that jolt of lightning wasn't very friendly. Let me see. When? Just now? Oh. General, Major General was speaking. And he was one of the best speakers I've ever heard. His form was very good. He was very scholarly and everything. And they had state-of-the-art equipment to project slides on big, giant screens in this beautiful air-conditioned hall. Somehow or other, something went wrong. And the computer equipment didn't work, and they had a bunch of men scurrying around trying to fix it. But they couldn't get it going. He was very good. He recovered from that. And he gave a wonderful speech, but it was without his slides. And they say a soldier... We had a smaller seminar later on by another colonel in the Air Force, and he told us a secret. He said, in presentations in the military, there's a code, and you must always have a slide up on the screen. You might be talking about anything different, but you always, they're just, you know, they have their way of doing things. And they can't do it without their slides and their whatever. Well, I didn't bring the Ishopanishad. Let's see how much I remember. You think it might come back on? How's your video? Is your video back on? All right. Next year, suggestion. You better get a surge protector. You know what is a surge protector? This is a $600 bulb here. All All right. Thank you, sir. Saved. I don't have to make a recovery like the Major General did. This Isha Upanishad was translated by Prabhupada in 1970. We call Srila Prabhupada His Divine Grace, which means that his books are actually not his books. He said that. He said that my books were not written by me. I am simply an instrument. Nimitta Matra Bhava Savya Sachin. Bhaktivedanta Swami. This is an interesting word. It actually is Bhakti and Vedanta both. If you break it down, Bhakti and Vedanta. So although Srila Prabhupada is practicing Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotion, love, sentiment, crying, dancing, but he's also Vedanta. He understands the purpose of all knowledge. Veda means knowledge and Anta means end. So he's Bhakti Vedanta. And we as devotees, we should not be in ignorance. It is our duty as preachers to become learned. We have to deal with many skeptics in the world, sometimes even in our own families. So they should not see us as simply sentimental singers and dancers and social parasites and all the epithets that I'm sure you've heard hurled at you by envious people. You have to be able to speak nicely. Prabhupada wanted you to become learned. Srila Prabhupada himself was a grihastha when he wrote his Bhagavad Gita, and he was very scholarly. So that's our line. The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is a very learned Sampradaya. There are many, many big Sanskrit scholars. Two of the greatest controversialists in history appeared in our line. Both Jiva Goswami and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Generally, a Vaishnava is not a controversialist. He can explain the philosophy according to Shruti, Smriti, and Purana. According to scripture, he can explain if someone asks. But he doesn't go out of his way so much to engage in taraka, or debate and argument. If people don't want to hear what we have to say, then he doesn't put them in distress by arguing with them. Yes, sir. Arjuna? Arjuna's in the Krishna Sampradaya. Arjuna is not actually, he's a Kshatriya. So He's a grihastha and a kshatriya. He's neither a brahmana nor a sannyasi. And it was not exactly his business to pass on Vedic knowledge as a parampara guru. Although Sanjaya also heard the Bhagavad Gita, and many other people heard the Bhagavad Gita, were privy to the message there, and it was later on repeated, but there's nothing like a Sampradaya coming through Arjuna that I know of. So it's important for us to study and become good preachers, representatives of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Prabhupada means that he's very special in our line. His Guru Maharaj was also called Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. It was a title that he revived. And some of Prabhupada's godbrothers were upset that we used that title to describe him. But that was basically not... They shouldn't have been upset because Prabhupada deserved the title. He was a Prabhu at whom all others bow their heads. Prabhupada at his feet. This is the second verse. The first verse, Isavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatcham jagattena tyaktena bunjita magradaka shasvidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Everything is controlled by the Lord. Even the grass that we're trampling on very nicely here, it's controlled by the Lord. And the sun and the moon and the electricity and the lightning, controlled by the Lord. He's the supreme proprietor. One should accept only those things which are set aside as his quota. One should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. This is something that is really, it's a key to our being satisfied. We have to go through devotional service. We have to live our lives. We've got about maybe 50, 60, 70 years, some of you. How many plan to live for 70 years? Huh? Good. You should. You should desire a long life because you'll probably need that much time to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada said that. In the interim between now, there's two kinds of people who are happy in this world. You know both of them, right? Which one are you? The first one, the Paramahansa? The fool. Okay. The fool and the Paramahansa, they're the only people happy. Everybody like us in between, we're miserable. We're struggling. And in order that we live peacefully in this world, we need to understand, we need to be satisfied, basically. We need to be satisfied that we're devotees. We'll find in our lives that there will be honor and dishonor. Some people will be delighted that you're a devotee of Krishna. They'll love to hear from you. They'll ask you so many questions. They'll even want to serve you. You'll be surprised. One day you're preaching to them and they'll start, oh, Guruji. They'll think you're some kind of guru. Right? Shocking to me when I found out. So, there'll be honor, but there'll be days, you know. My mama said there'd be days like that, you know, bad days when everything goes wrong, when people blaspheme you. And I remember when we do Harinam in Vancouver, where I'm from, and some days we'd go out on Harinam and little old ladies would come up and give us $20 bills and, you know, people would walk by and smile, and everybody was just so happy to see us. Other days, people would throw eggs at us, rotten tomatoes. People would come out of bars drunk and beat us with beer bottles. In fact, at one point, I wanted to quit the movement and follow the Sankirtan party around and, you know, carry a crowbar and beat all the demons up. I wanted to protect the devotees from all the distress. I remember there was one group that used to come out in the nighttime and they would light incense. We were passing out incense. We were doing Harinam. And we'd give Hare Krishna, you know, chant Hare Krishna, give incense. And these guys would take the incense and they'd come up behind devotees with the lit incense and stick them in the back with it. So sometimes there'll be difficulties. And sometimes you'll be protected. I'm sure the devotees who are serving Krishna in Sarajevo, they can tell us many, many wonderful stories that will, you know, make our hair stand on end. How Krishna saved them, how Krishna protected them, how Krishna inspired them. Huh? And many wonders. I'm sure they could write books, right? You're going to write a book? You're from Sarajevo. Are you going to write a book someday? Okay, at least an article. So, we need to be satisfied that we're devotees and peaceful. So, in order to do that, we have to understand that Krishna is the controller and nothing happens in our lives without His sanction. There is no injustice in the kingdom of God. There's no injustice. Bad things do not happen to good people. Or if they do happen to good people, the good people take it as a blessing, as a chance to make progress. They see it as an opportunity. What did Peter Drucker say? Effective people do not see problems. They're not problem-minded. They're opportunity-minded. They starve problems and they feed opportunities. Everything is an opportunity for you to advance in Krishna consciousness. Everything is an opportunity to learn more about your own character, about the nature of the world you live in. Everything is an opportunity for you to advance in devotional service. It's simply a question of the way you're looking at things. That's all it is. Your consciousness, the way you see things. You can tolerate everything, tamstitikshasvabhartha, because you're not the body. And that's the bottom line. Spiritual life. What's the meaning of spiritual life if you don't accept that one principle? You're not the body. And go forward from there. So, Isavasya, the very famous verse, Mahatma Gandhi, used to quote those verses all the time, those first two. This is a nice verse also. Kurvan eveha karmani jijivishek shatam samaha evam tai nanyate tosti na karma lipyate nare. Meaning is, one may aspire to live for hundreds of years. Okay? I'm sure nobody wants to die. If this tent begins, you know, if those guys continue climbing on the roof of the tent or something, like they were last night, and it begins to fall down, we'll all go running out of the tent. Because our nature is to preserve our lives. Nobody really wants to die. Some people pretend and try to commit suicide, or maybe they actually do. But most of us want to live because we're eternal. So it's only natural. You can actually go on living for hundreds of years if you know the art of work. For example, it is said that a yogi, by controlling his life airs, you get a certain amount of breath in your lifetime. You're allotted by your karma a certain amount of breaths. And if you control your breathing, you can prolong your life. And if you don't control your breathing, you waste it. Prabhupada was once in Vrindavan giving a lecture in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And he alluded to how, he was talking about this subject, and he alluded to the fact that the greatest waste of our energy in life is what? The activity that makes the whole world go round. Huh? Breathing? No. It ends with ing, but mating, sex life. And then he was talking about breathing, and then he imitated. He was on the Vyasa song, and he went, like that. Because we expend breath uselessly. And it's simply our life force is going out of our body. People do so many things foolishly. Smoking cigarettes. What do we call cigarettes? We call them cancer sticks. We call them coffin nails. Cigarettes. Person takes a cigarette, it's burning fire, and he goes, cool. You show him a picture of his lungs, he won't believe it. People eat meat, they have no idea what they're doing to their body. They do so many foolish things, and one of the most foolish things is illicit sex life. Based on religious principles, sex life is devotional service. It's a month. Actually, it means once every 16 months. Because if your wife is healthy, then she'll bear a child. So there is greater happiness than rubbing skin. And if you want to live a long time, a healthy, happy, spiritual life, you should learn that art, how to work. That sort of work will not bind you to the laws of karma. There's no alternative to this way for a man. Yadyartat karmano anyatra loko yam karma bandana, from the Bhagavad Gita. If you work as a sacrifice for God, if you use the fruits of your work to please the Lord, then your work will liberate you. The Bhagavad Gita is sometimes called the art of all work. How to act in such a way that you don't get entangled in the bodily conception of life, which is so strong and so deep that even though we've heard 1,000 times aham brahmasmi, we still act like we're the body. When we get attacked by maya, we surrender. It's hard to keep everything focused in spiritual life because the contamination in our heart has been there for thousands and even millions of years. It's a long habit, a long-term habit that we've developed. So now to cut that off, it can be done because the holy name is very powerful. It can be done because Srila Prabhupada is very merciful. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. It can be done if you really want it. But there's some surrender, some need for cooperation with the Lord on your part. Again, as we said, you have to be a little proactive. Otherwise, karma no anyatra loko yam karma bandana. Karma bandana means you'll get bound by your work. There is a way of doing everything. Having a family, having a business, fulfilling your purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama. You can fulfill all those purusharthas. You came to this world for that. Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata. Everyone here, we've taken a body because we have desires and we need to fulfill them. There's no religion in the world that says that you can't do that. But you should do it in such a way that you don't neglect your spiritual life. And that is the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, prasadam adhigacchati, the merciful principles. They're principles of freedom. They're not principles of bondage. You're not getting bound up. You're not getting inhibited or limited because we tell you to give up eating meat. Telling you to give up eating meat is the best thing that we could tell you. Someone who tells you to give up eating meat and eat Krishna prasadam, he's your friend. He wants you to live eternally. He wants you to live healthily even in this lifetime. Someone who asks you to give up illicit sex or gambling and chant Hare Krishna instead of watching television, that person loves you. He has the courage to tell you the truth rather than just self-serving flattery. Rather than just a mutual admiration society. I scratch your back and you scratch mine. Thank you. Thank you. If you see me after the lecture, I need a massage. Okay. A real person who actually loves you will tell you the truth. There's something transmigration of the soul. If people knew they had to come back again and do it all over, they might become more serious about spiritual life. A lot of times people become apathetic to spiritual life because they think there's only one life. We've been taught that by our Judeo-Christian background. There's only one life. Right? Either you go to heaven or hell. That's it. One life, one chance. I mean, my father was heavy. He was a heavy dude. He was a military man, colonel in the army. He was an orphan. He didn't know how to love because he didn't have a family. He was a disciplinarian. But even though he had all of those qualities, if I said, "I'm sorry, Daddy, please give me another chance," 2 out of 3 times he'd give me another chance. If it was the first time that I'd said I was sorry about that particular thing. It was the 15th time. He wasn't very compassionate, but neither would Krishna be. It's unreasonable to think that my Heavenly Father wouldn't give me a second chance. It's just not my compassionate, loving Heavenly Father wouldn't give me a second chance. Or, in another way, what happens to a 3-week-old baby? If the baby dies, where does he go? Heaven or hell? Didn't love Jesus. He's a soul. Didn't love Jesus. Didn't commit any sin either. Huh? 3-week-old baby. Committed sin, went out and got drunk and went out with some 3-week-old baby girls and started the disco. And I don't think so, right? So where does he go? Heaven or hell? Most people I've asked in the church say that God is very kind. Such a soul would eventually go to heaven, right? God is very merciful. So then my answer is, why are you so much against abortion? Let all the kids go to... Let's kill them all right now. Let them go to heaven. Must be a better place than this. It doesn't work like that, folks. Even in this lifetime, we transmigrate. The soul survives the death of the body. Dehino smin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara. Tata dehantara praptir. Dhiras tatra namuyati. From boyhood to youth to middle age to old age. So many changes of body. Death is just another change of body. What's so difficult to see? Death is just like changing your cloth. It's not so difficult. Compared to changing the dress, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vasangsi. Vasangsi means cloth. Vasangsi jirnani yatha. Just as you change your cloth. Vasangsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani. Granati naro parani tata sharirani vihaya janani anyani samyati navani dehi. Very literal verse. But the principle is just a very clear philosophy. Simple, but to the point and inscrutable. You can't disprove it. What's the word I'm searching for? So, This idea of transmigration or reincarnation, as it's become called. If people understood that they had to take another body, they think, I'll just commit sinful activity. Maybe I'll get a good result, or maybe I won't. But I die, and that'll be the end of it. There's no retribution, no punishment. There's no God. As Prabhupada said about his professor at Scottish Church's College, he asked him, he said, where's the witness to my activities that I take another body? The professor thought he was very smart. Ha ha, I've disproved the theory of karma. Where's the witness? There are so many witnesses. Krishna says, Prabhasmi sasasurayo, I am the light of the sun and the moon. His eyes are there. He's andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He's within the heart of every living being. Tadantarasya sarvasya. We're going to see that in another verse here. He's within everything. He can see everything. He knows your thoughts even before you think them practically. He's right there, just like you can understand what is a rose by being close to it. It may be behind you, but the aroma, you understand immediately it's a rose. So Krishna's there beside the soul. There are two living beings, the Atma and Paramatma. And Paramatma accompanies the soul through all his transmigration. He's a witness to all your activities. Karmana Daivanetrena, you're rewarded. Where does this Maya get her Shakti? She's simply doing a job for Krishna. Why is Krishna keeping us here in this material world? Because we want to enjoy independently from him. We have made the choice. No one here who is innocently put here. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I had a tremendous row, big fight with my mom and dad. I wasn't going to take it anymore. I packed my bags and I walked out the door and I walked down the road. I thought they'd stop me. I got about 2 blocks away, then I realized, where am I going? 6, 7 years old. So I came back and cried. And then my parents surrendered to me. We can actually make that choice to leave God. We have independent will. There's no meaning to love that is forced. Love is an activity where you give yourself voluntarily to your beloved. You're not forced. Out of choice, you sacrifice, you give. Love is giving. So, we gave up Krishna's association, and now we have to choose again to go back to him. We have to channel our energy and our love back to him. We have to choose to do it, and the proof of our strong faith and choice is that we have to overcome the attraction of the material world. We have to prove to Krishna that we want him more than we want some compromise. No compromise in spiritual life. We're tied by ropes, the gunas. Work can free us. This verse talks about working in the right way. So, we're not saying that you don't work. We're not saying that you go to the Himalayas. Mayavadi philosophers will tell you, you have to give up work. You have to stop work. You have to go to the Himalayas and meditate. But that is simply a negative reaction. It's negative attraction. We are not giving up work. The eye is infected. One solution is cut the eye out. No more eye problem. Better solution is put the ointment. Cure the eye and use it again. So premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. When your eyes are applied, the ointment of the anjana of prema, premanjana, love of Krishna, then you can do anything in the material world for Krishna's pleasure, because it's no longer the material world. It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is right here in Pula. This is the kingdom of God, if we have the right consciousness. Because it's God's energy. For Him, there's no difference between matter and spirit. It's His energy. It's all Him. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is Krishna. It's we who discriminate. Because we want to be alone with ourselves as the king of the earth. We don't want to surrender to Krishna. So work can free us. The Vedas can regulate our work. We can attain positive knowledge to cut the knot of material affection by working in the right way. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give you dadami buddhi, knowledge. Yenamamupayantite, how you can come to me. Krishna will give you inspiration. He will talk to you. Krishna will talk to you. You will hear Him guiding you. If you use your senses to work for Him, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, you can work for your family, you can work for your country, you can work for your mind and senses. But if you just change your paradigm and work for Krishna, change your heart, change your consciousness. It's not hard. It's happening every day. Devotees are getting together in satsang, sadhu sangha, and they're changing their lives. There are 8,400,000 species of life. There's Jalaja Navalakshani. There's 9,000 aquatics. You can go out here and meet some of them right there in the water. I hear you have these little round things with spikes in them. And you step on one of them. You'll never forget your trip to Pula. Very painful. There's so many species of life in the water. We can't live there. But they're adapted to that environment. Nitya Sarva Gata Stanur. The soul is existing everywhere, on every planet. Soul is everywhere. There are so many species of life. There are 2 million unmoving species, like the trees and plants and whatnot. Stationary. 2 million different species. There are insects and reptiles, 1,100,000. There are birds, 1 million. Beasts, 3 million. Humans, only 400,000. That means we are very rare. It means that human beings are only 5%. This little sliver here of the whole total. Human beings are only 5%. So this is a special form of life, and we have to act specially. You have to take advantage. You have to be an opportunist. There are so many people in Croatia now who are really trying to seize the chance, right? Peace has been established. The countries have been broken up the way people want. And hopefully there'll be some economic development now. And everybody's scrambling to get an advantage. Everybody's got the same idea. Everybody's got whatever education. Everybody's struggling hard. There's a survival mentality there. Some people are going to get a good break. They'll seize it, and they'll become the millionaires of Croatia. Right? That's the way it happens. Everybody's got a college education. Everybody's got a desire to feed his family and have a bigger house and a Mercedes car and, you know, a summer vacation in America. Everybody's got that desire. But some get a chance by the arrangement of karma, by good luck, whatever, and they take the opportunity, they seize the opportunity. How many of you didn't see the movie Dead Poets Society? Robin Williams? Okay, he didn't see it. He didn't see it. He didn't. I know, you all saw it. He told the students, we use this in our Seven Habits course, flip. He told the students, he had them look, there's a glass case in the foyer of their school. So he had the first day, he got all the students, he brought them in his class, and he had them look at all the alumni of the school, all these football players, you know, from the champion team from 20 years ago. And he said, look at these people. Look at them very carefully. He said, what do you think they're doing now? They're fertilizing daffodils. They've passed away. They've become ashes, manure, whatever. He said, but they're still living here. They're telling you something. They're trying to tell you something. Lean in closely. Listen carefully. And all the students leaned in. You know, they put their hands up to their ear. They tried to, against the glass window. The pictures were on the other side. They're all, and Robin Williams leaned in with them. And then he says, carpe diem. Carpe. And all of them. Where was that sound coming from? He was saying, carpe diem. Who knows what that means in Latin? Seize the day, my friends. Carpe diem. Seize the life. You've got a chance. Out of 8,400,000 species, there are only 5% humans. And out of those 400,000, there's a small percentage who have a little bit of civilization. A little bit of material opulence so that they can take up spiritual life. You have that chance, and it's only you who can spoil it. No one's going to make your day for you. You have to take the responsibility and do it yourself. You can do it, but you have to take the scriptures, you have to take the association, you have to apply it in your lives. You'll see a change, you will become peaceful and happy. But you have to do it, and only you can do it. Devotional service is perfection. There are many different kinds of yoga and meditation. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate omam sami yukta tamo mataha yukta tama means the highest process. Yogeshwar Sri Krishna, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Param Jnanam, Vasudeva Parodharmo, Vasudeva Paragatihi, Vasudeva Param Tapaha. He's the goal of everything. He's Tattvavit. He knows everything. He's the Sarvakarana Karanam. And he's telling very clearly that there's nothing higher than bhakti yoga, devotional service. It's not our invention. We're not competing against other people. My daddy is better than your daddy. That's childish stuff. We're simply presenting as it is, yatharup, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Kakvajasti, right. Bhagavad Gita Kakvajasti, as it is. We're presenting that. Krishna says, Manmana, Bhava Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Fix your mind on me. Practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. Work for me. Giving up the fruits of your... In India, every Indian... Are there any Indians here? No, even Sarva Bhavan is not here. Okay. Every Indian, they all kind of, they're a little bit pious, many of them. And they know verses from Bhagavad Gita. But today's modern day India is completely materialistic and getting worse. They're like, interested in the wet stool. They're like new crows. The young crows, they're always, the old crows are kind of disinterested after us. The new crows that are interested in all the filthy, dirty stuff. So, anyway, the point is that even though they know some verses in the Bhagavad Gita, they don't know the purport. They've just heard it from their father and their father's father, and so, they just repeat it. Swamiji, I'm Hindu. We are Hindu. What is a Hindu? I don't know, but I'm a Hindu. Prabhupada, one girl asked Prabhupada in the University of Boston. It was Harvard University. Prabhupada was giving a lecture at Harvard University. One Indian girl got up and said, Swamiji, what is a Hindu? Prabhupada blasted her. You are Indian and you are asking me this question? So anyway, one verse I found that they all know. It's karma nyeva dikaraste mahapalesu kadachana. Ma karma phal hetu bhur mate sangos vakarmani. Meaning, karmani eva adhikar. You have the right. Adhikar means right. You have the right to work. Karmani eva adhikar. So they know that. Verse. Swamiji, we have a right to do our work. We just have to be detached from the results. Let come what may. I'm detached. If $100,000 comes from my work, okay. I won't get ulcers. I'm unattached. I'll go for a foreign tour to the USA. No problem. If $500,000 comes, I'm not in anxiety. No problem. God's blessing. I'll go for a foreign tour and I'll buy a Mercedes car. If $200,000 comes, or $2 million comes, I won't be attached to the results, Swamiji. God's instruction, karmani eva adhikar. I'll go on a foreign tour. I'll buy a Mercedes car and I'll make a down payment on a big house in Juhu Beach. That's their understanding of the verse. But they never read the fine print. It's not even fine print. It's just the second half of the verse. Karma nyeva dikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. You have a right to do your work, but ma phaleshu. Ma means not. Karmani ma. You do not have a right to the fruits of your work. You're not adhikar ma. You don't have a right to the phaleshu, the fall. It's in our trying to enjoy the fruit that we experience distress. If you give up the fruit to a higher cause, in this case Krishna consciousness, you won't experience sukh and dukh. You'll be peaceful in your mind. And you'll actually get enough to maintain yourself and you'll be happy. And that's what we really want. Peace of mind, satisfaction, and happiness. Now, I've traveled all over the world. I've lived in Pakistan, in Jobarpattis, in hutment dwellings. Our devotees there in Pakistan, we have many devotees there, but the country is predominantly Muslim. So what happened is, at the time of partition of India and Pakistan, all the Hindus were kicked out of the country. You're not the only ones who gone through this kind of thing. Even India went through it. And there was a lot of distress and trouble because people are in the bodily concept of life. They go through misery. Actually, even Arjuna said this to Krishna. He said, "You're asking me to kill my guru. You're asking me to kill my relatives, but I feel very bad about it. It's very distressful to me." And Krishna tells Arjuna, yes, because you're in the bodily conception of life, it's going to be difficult for you. So if Arjuna was feeling distressed because of some bodily conception, what to speak of us? So in India, this went on. All the Hindus were kicked out, Pakistan. But the ones who couldn't afford to leave were the bungies. They're the bathroom cleaners. Bungie means the sweepers. Low-class people who, you know, couldn't afford to. So I've lived with them in their mud huts and their, you know, in their places in Pakistan. They're still very poor, but they're nice devotees. And I've lived with very wealthy people. I've lived with the Rothschilds, with the Rockefellers of India, the very wealthiest people. I've lived with farmers. When we did Padyatra in India, I helped to start the Padyatra in 1984, provided Lokanath Swami with all the money to start Padyatra. And I walked for 3 months with the Padyatra, and we went village to village in India. Very simple people, very simple life. You can't imagine. How many of you have been on Padyatra in India? Anybody? Bhakti Vrindavan Maharaj? Good. Anybody else? It's a great experience. If you want simple living, an idea what simple living is, you can try that. Wonderful. Anyway, I've seen different cultures. I've seen the jungles of New York. The blackboard jungle, the concrete jungle. There's over a million millionaires in that part of the world, Northeast USA. So much wealth and opulence. But Prabhupada said, "You Americans, you're very expert to build big, big, tall skyscrapers, and then you're very expert to jump from the top floor." So having that kind of facility, you can be in any condition in life, but that won't guarantee you peace of mind and happiness. You can have any material situation. Everybody wants to increase their material opulence. That doesn't guarantee. More doesn't guarantee happiness. What does guarantee your happiness is using the fruits of your work for the service of the owner, not being a thief. Krishna's the proprietor, and cultivation of knowledge. So this is Isavasyam Idam Sarvam, God-centered activity. Despite humanitarianism, communism, nationalism, socialism, altruism, Sri Krishna, God, is in the center. You can dovetail, Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse, you can dovetail everything in Krishna's service. Such activities are recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, for they guarantee their executor protection from the dangers of sliding down into the evolutionary process of repeated birth and death. We all know that verse, Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Krishna says that even a little advancement in spiritual life can protect you from taking rebirth again. Taking birth again. So choose your path. Always think of Krishna 24 hours a day. Chant 16 rounds. Give your time to Krishna's service. Give your money. And always chant. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. That was not very enthusiastic. I think it's time for a little more Japanese management. Everybody stand up. Okay. Take your hands like this. Okay. and push out from your body. Push. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! Okay, put them behind your back. Now bend over and put them up. High. Lift your head up. Push your hands up. Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! Sir Premanande! Okay, sit down. Okay, who's the killer of the soul? There's a killer loose in this room. Dangerous. There's a killer somewhere here. The killer of the soul. Whoever he may be. Verse 3 by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. You can chant along. Sing along with Mitch here. Asurya nama te loka andena tamasa vritaha tangse pretya bigachanti yeke tatmano janaha. Atmahana. That's who he is. Killer of the soul. Asurya, meant for the senses, nama famous by the name, Tedos, loka planets, andhena by ignorance, tamasa by darkness. I don't know why I put the word meanings into this one anyway. Those planets, they, pretty after death, abhigacchanti, enter into. Yea, anyone, k, everyone, cha, and atmahana, killers of the soul, person. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the world of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. There are two kinds of living beings in this world. There are the suras, the devotees of the Lord. Basically, they're submissive to supreme beings. They're not afraid to bow down. They're not threatened by surrendering to God. They're basically submissive. They may be in the beginning skeptical, but they're prepared to listen. Their hearts are basically simple. They're not complicated, and foolish, and whatever. Maybe foolish, but they're prepared to give up that foolishness also. And then there are the asuras, non-devotees of the Lord. They're inimical even to the concept of God consciousness. You can go on talking to them for years and years. But they're just envious of Krishna. In fact, the Bible says, do not cast your pearls to swine. We say one of the 10 offenses is not to reveal the intimate glories of the Lord to the faithless. Asradadanasya purusya dharmasyasya purantapa prapya mam. They won't attain me. You can't convince them. There are some people who are, they're basically demons. You know, that may conjure up in your mind an image of someone with big horns and a big, you know, trishul, big, and blowing fire from his mouth and a big long tail, Beelzebub. So you get shy about calling anyone a demon. Well, A demon doesn't always have to take that kind of form. In fact, the demon can be right within our own hearts. In fact, it's said like that. In other ages, the demons lived on other planets, in other parts of the universe. But in Kali Yuga, there's a demon and a devotee right within the one body. Demon is a state of consciousness as much as anything. And you have to point it over here. No? Straight. Okay. In the ocean of ignorance, the demons are in this ocean of ignorance and they don't want to come out. Whereas the devotees, at least, you can preach to them. The example is given, the material world is like an ocean. The human body is a solid boat. The Vedic Shastra and Acharyas are like expert boatmen. And the facilities of the body, the human body, are like good breezes, favorable breezes. So the metaphor is that the human form of life will be used by the devotees to get out of the ocean of material ignorance, material suffering. There's also another discussion here in this verse which I like very much. It's not really about a pig becoming the manager of your company, but it's an analogy that Prabhupada gives to demonstrate how the human form of life is meant to separate us from... We're distinct from the animal kingdom, from the pigs, the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Hogs and dogs and camels and asses, basically they eat, sleep, mate, and defend without any regulation. And they waste their time. In India, you get to see all these examples very nicely. You see hogs everywhere on the roads. Mostly in many cities, the sanitation department consists of a band of hogs who go everywhere and eat the hot stool of people. Yes, they're very happy. In fact, one person once said to Prabhupada that I've seen hogs that are more happy than human beings. And Prabhupada said, you wouldn't really want to be a hog. It's such a nasty life, putting your nose in so many filthy places. And the guy said, well, if I were a hog, I wouldn't mind. So Prabhupada said, all right, you have my blessings. So, anyway, the point is that in every business, there's a proprietor, a manager, a secretary, and a peon. And all of them have the same economic problem. They have to eat, they have to have somewhere to sleep, a house, they need facility for raising a family, they need some kind of insurance or security. They all have the same problems, characterized here by Lakshmi Devi. Now, the company pays the manager, the proprietor gets the most money. The manager gets a little less, but he gets good money. The secretary gets less money, and the peon gets the least amount of money. They all have the same economic problems, but the proprietor is giving less to the peon to solve his problems and more to the manager. He can easily get a nice apartment. He can use a company car. He can have insurance policy. He gets so many benefits and salary. He can easily solve his economic problems. Why does the company do that? Any ideas? Yes. Why is he more important? Because he wears better clothes or... So we have to all become good managers. That's the perfection of human form of life. You hear that? See, we all have to become good managers. We have to take responsibility. The manager, his job doesn't always end at 5 o'clock. He may take work home with him. The proprietor is paying him a good salary so he can easily solve his economic problems because he's taking more responsibility. What would happen if he didn't take responsibility? What if he came to the Pula summer camp and just, you know, forgot his job for a week? When he went back, he'd probably be fired, right? It happened to me once. When I was going to college, I was working on a merchant marine ship in the summertime. So on the weekend, there was some kind of festival in a city that was about 8 hours' drive from where we were stationed. And I and another fellow jumped in a car, and without telling anybody, we went down to Vancouver. And, you know, we even got back almost before the ship was departing. We got back before the ship was going out. But we had no permission to leave, and we didn't make arrangements for our work to be done while we were gone. And I was fired. It can happen. If you don't do your service, you're given some responsibility, and you don't do it properly, you'll get fired or demoted. Now, where's the analogy here? We all have the same economic problems as the animals. But God has given us, nature has given us more facility to easily solve those problems. For us, making an arrangement for eating or sleeping or mating is not that difficult. But for animals, that's all they do 24 hours a day. Where's food? Where's sex? Where's shelter? They have to struggle much harder than human beings. Human beings can control all the other animals. Now, why has nature given us more facility to easily solve our problems? What do you think? Why? Because we're expected to take more responsibility to understand the meaning of life. And if we don't, then we don't belong in human life. You can become an elephant. You can become a bear and sleep for 6 months. You can become a tiger and eat meat very easily. You can so many other species where you would be better suited. So, you know, don't be a pig. Be a responsible human being. That's what the Isha is teaching us. Fallen yogi gets another chance. Prapya punya kritam lokan. Ushitva shasvati samahai. May live there for many, many years. But Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brush. He's called a Yoga Brushta, a fallen yogi. He'll get birth in a very wealthy family or a very learned family. Srila Prabhupada used to say that he got an opportunity to take birth in a wealthy, learned family. And we're very fortunate that we got an opportunity to associate with Srila Prabhupada. He said in his past life as a doctor, he made one mistake. He killed, I believe it was a snake. Did some little thing wrong, and therefore he had to take birth again. But by Krishna's grace, it was all his plan to send Srila Prabhupada to us. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's all there is in the material world. And according to Isha Upanishad, we have to become transcendental to those activities. Krishna-centered living. Krishna in the center. Family, money, possessions, pleasure, friends. Everything is outside. The center of our lives must be our spiritual life. It must be our first priority. You have to make it a priority. You have to plan your life so that God is in the center. You're the only one who can do that. Okay, I think I'll end class there, although we haven't exactly covered 18 verses. I'll cover them all tomorrow, okay? I'm sorry, but it's getting overtime, and so we'll end there today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.